The authentic body of Christ. I would like you to turn in your Bibles to John, if you would, the 17th chapter. As I am starting a series throughout this summer, it's going to take the whole summer to do it. What is the authentic body of Christ? And it's something that I am passionately going there and getting into God's Word. Since the deacons are deaconing, it gives me more time in God's Word to study. And I mean that seriously. We all need to deacon. What is a deacon? A servant. A servant. We all need to serve one another. Jesus said, "He that is greatest is the servant of all." And so I want to read to you my key verse here, as this is Mission Sunday, John 17, 24. Whatever version you have there, you can bring up there for me, Debbie. But I'm reading out of the Passion Bible because it really helps to underscore it. John 17, 24 through 26. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, Father, verse 24. Father, I ask that you allow everyone that you have given to me to be with me where I am. Then they will see my full glory, the very splendor you have placed upon me, because you have loved me even before the beginning of time. You are my righteous Father. But the unbelieving world has never known you in a perfect way that I have known you. And all these who believe in me also know that you have sent me. I have revealed to them who you are, and I will continue to make you even more real to them so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them, even as I live in them. Holy Spirit, will you take these words and seal them to our hearts here today? Amen and amen. I believe with all my heart the reason this world is the way it is, it's because you and I, Christ's body. Can I say that again? I have a conviction. The reason this world is in the condition it is in is because of the church. You and I. Not fulfilling the heart of this prayer. I want us to take time to learn what Jesus meant in this amazing prayer. Very interesting, this whole disclosure that Jesus is praying here. It's immediately after the conclusion of the Lord's the Last Supper in Jerusalem, the night before his crucifixion, right before, I should say that. He's praying there. So this disclosure, or this, what Jesus is saying here in John 14, chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17, Jesus is trying to help the disciples to understand his departing and what he was there for to do. You read John 14, you find that Jesus tells his disciples that he was going to go away to the Father, but that he would send the Holy Spirit of God. And so the key theme in chapter 14 is the expression of unity and love between them, his disciples, and himself. And then the second disclosure you find in chapter 15 of John. This is the part of where Jesus is trying to get them to envision the vine and the branches. And Jesus is dealing with them how that he loves them and they need to love him. And the source of life of the community, we have to be in the vine. We are the branches. How many can say amen? He is the vine. And so he is trying to help them to understand their source is only in him. Very interesting. At the end of this, he leads them into a discussion in chapter 15 here of how the world's hatred for them. And then he goes into warning. He said, I've told you these things in John 16 here, so that in me you have peace. But in the world, there's trouble. But so that in me you may have peace, in the world you will have trouble. Everybody says, in the world I will have trouble. When you live the world system, you're going to have trouble. You're doomed in the world system. But he said something. John 16 and 33, but take heart. I have overcome the world. That's why I had you stand on your feet and realize that. And then the farewell prayer in John 17. And here Jesus is praying for his followers and the coming church. It's one of Jesus' longest prayers. That's why I'm having you, I would encourage you to read it every day. You'll get the heart of Jesus for you. The high priestly prayer, and the main themes in this prayer is really the glorification of the Father. Father, the glory that you have given me, I give to them. I'm having a picture, man. What he is wanting us to move into. I'm going to move into there because he prayed it. And remember, when Jesus prays something, it's going to happen. To those who believe. And then he petitioned for the unity of the disciples through this love. And then Jesus prays to the Father that his followers may be one as we are one. And that the love with which you love me may be in them. And I in them. What would happen if we dared to believe that? He prayed it. So it's very interesting. Jesus, who is the second person in the Godhead, he became and is both God and man. Interesting. To save humanity from annihilation. Think about that. Man would have destroyed himself, left to himself, and he is, and he does. He came to show us how to live as humans and to put on the face of the Creator God for us. Can I submit to you today that if you and I dare to go to this level of operation, Jesus said, as Philip asked him, you've been talking so much about the Father, why don't you show him to us? Jesus said, hey, Philip, you're seeing me. What? You're seeing God. Jesus put a face on God. Oh, folks, I'm seeing something, And this is why the world don't want you to pray in Jesus' name. Throughout America, they're trying to shut that down. But thank God we have an administration in the Capitol in Washington, D.C. that wants to turn that around in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We need to pray much for the Supreme Court's decision as President Trump is making that second decision of putting someone in there that has the character of God. Lord, in Jesus' name, give our elected officials the wisdom to know what to do in this time, in Jesus' name. For the Supreme Court, let me submit to you that I believe, as Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send my Spirit. And He will be in you. I want to submit to you that I believe Jesus said we need to do what He did. He put a face on God. I believe it's high time every one of us in this place needs to put a face on God. To be like Jesus. In everything that we do. Now, why not? He prayed it. And so we need to understand that we're living in the last days, and it's high time that we allow this to be a reality. In eternity's past, let me just read to you John 1. Turn, if you would, to St. John 1. The importance of what John was saying here, John had a vision of Jesus, what he wanted to do. Look at this here. In the very beginning, John 1:1. In the very beginning, let's read it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oh, really? In the very beginning, the living expression was already there. And the living expression was with God, yet fully God. They were together face to face in the very beginning. Very interesting what this literally means. Let me help you to understand what this literally means. The Greek word used here and the concept conveys as that of being before God's face. There is no Hebrew word for presence. So the presence of God only is the word face. Face of God. Our desire every day and everything we do would be to walk in the presence of God. So let me submit to you, you invite God's presence into your life, that means the face of God is going to show up. Very important. And so in Genesis, it's the beginning of time. But John speaks of the eternity past. In the beginning before time exists, the living expression is Christ, who existed eternally as part of the Godhead. He had no beginning, being one with the Father. This is deep. Get this. Jesus was in the beginning with God. God said, that human race that I created is just so messed up. Will you please go down there and show them how I want them to live? So for 33 and a half years, God manifested in the flesh, hallelujah, walked here upon this earth and showed each one of us how a human being can be living under the supernatural power of Almighty God. Hallelujah! Puta kosata, my God. I got a hot potato here today. Lord, showing me these things. And I'm saying, okay, God, where are we going to go with it? Colossians 1:15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. We are made in His image, spirit body, and likeness, physical body. So my question to you is, what is the Holy Spirit of God, what the Holy Spirit of God does for you and I today? Let me help you if I can to understand what the Holy Spirit of God is for us to be doing. John 14, 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But, everybody say, but ye know him. Do you? Ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. And what? By the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Go to John 15, 26. Here Jesus was talking about this very thing. But when the Comforter is come, the Holy Spirit of God, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Is the Holy Spirit in us? Is the Holy Spirit in us? Are we carriers of the Holy Spirit? Just like the Ark of the Covenant. Holy Spirit, will you open up our understanding? I can only share what you give me, Lord, but open up everyone's understanding here today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Only you can do it, Holy Spirit. And I rest in you to make this real. John 16, 13. Howbeit, he, the Spirit of truth, is come. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Okay. I want you to know, Jesus was talking to his disciples here, that he had, for 3.5 years, 24/7, he was working with this motley group. The Bible even tells us here that for the most part, they had a close understanding of the Old Testament and how he worked and moved in the affairs of men in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was there. You find incidents, you know, the Holy Spirit came down. Samson, the Spirit of God came down. You know, you see a lot. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came down. But in the New Testament, it's in us. In us. As you recall, some of them were considered ignorant and unlearned men. The Bible tells us this. Others like Matthew and Dr. Luke were a greater public preeminence. But with God, all of them were equal, with neither of them holding a greater divine respect than the other. Okay, this is very important. Acts 4:13 tells us here. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived, first of all, that they were unlearned and ignorant men. And they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. I prophesy to each one of you today, as you leave this place, and as you allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you this amazing revelation people are going to be amazed at what comes out of your mouth. And you will be able to tell them, it's not me. There's a realignment going on throughout the body of Christ of getting our minds. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. And so we're developing this. And the Bible tells us, it's very interesting, it was Jesus rose from the dead. He opened their understanding. It's amazing. Remember the two on the road to Emmaus? Okay? He was expounding all what the prophets and all what, and they never knew who he was. And he was intending to go on, but something was different about this man. And they said, no, come into our house. And they invited him in. Let me suggest to you, when you invite Jesus into your house, something supernatural is going to change. And the Bible tells us here in Luke 24, 45 to 30, 53, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And I believe this act of Jesus foreshadows really the coming of his counterpart, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit himself, who would ultimately take his place in the furthering and the understanding and the revealing of his teachings here upon this earth that you and I have access to 24/7. Don't bother me, but I get excited about this revelation. And my passion is to help us all to move into it in Jesus' name. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. Barb, you can go there this week here under the total supervision of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be confounded of what God's going to do in and through you. In Jesus' name. So the Holy Ghost and the human family, we need to go back to our old landmarks again. Oh, fill me with your Spirit. That is the hallmark of this church. Our founding fathers here, apostle of the work. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit. Oh, may we again come back to the wonders of the Holy Spirit's outpouring, amen, today. And when we hear about the one who said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. There is so much in this, and we're going to be developing this throughout our time here. Oh, let me just cue you in. God is opening up Milk House prayer rooms. I'll be sharing that. I can't believe it. Daddy's going to go. And there's a place that someone wants to open up their milk house for us to pray in. How is that prophetic? I think that's just powerful with us being farmers, you know, too. And so I'm in here the month of July here. We should have a milk house prayer meeting place here in our region here. We are born again. 1 Peter 1 and 23. Just let me try to summarize this here as we close this out here today. You've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. 1 Peter 1 and 23. We are born of royalty. We have the royal blood of heaven flowing through our veins. My. Our royal nature, you have been born again, not of perishable seeds, but of imperishable seeds. And so he did this on the basis of not the law of human nature or philosophy, but human nature. Well, you're born of my father. I'm a son of Luke Weaver. But the seed of Luke Weaver that is in me will die. Mama died. She went to heaven. That's the natural seed, okay? But you have been born of imperishable seed. Holy Ghost, make that real to us. From the high and divine nature of God has been implanted in each one of us when we as Jesus become a Lord and Savior. It's the same sense of being a tutor of a prince. Why do the royalty tutor their children? That they might seek to foster in them a kingly spirit or a dignified behavior. You look at children of the royalty. They're different. They're different. So we are. Peter here is trying to define this for us, that our position, our family tree, so looking upon God's people as heirs of the glory of God, princes of the royal blood, descendants of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, hallelujah to God, for you shall never pass away, because this kingdom is an everlasting kingdom that will live throughout eternity. And now we are honored to be able to fulfill the heart of our King, our Father King, and be royalty. Lift your head high. You don't have to be walking around in despair and despondency when you know who you are. How many can say amen? So we do well then in the spirit of humility to recognize our true dignity of the regenerated nature of Almighty God that lives in each one of us as believers in Christ. Jesus. What is a Christian? We need to compare him with a king. As a Christian, you add priestly sanctity and royal dignity. The king's royalty often lies only in his crown. But with Christians, you and I, we are infused into Christ's innermost nature. We are different than the world, for though through our new birth, just like man is above the beast of the field, as we conduct ourselves in our dealings as one who is different from the crown chosen out of the world, distinguished by the sovereign grace of Almighty God, part of God's peculiar people, we shall go forth and do the mighty works of God in the earth today. As God is giving me this revelation and understanding, He's opening up my eyes to see who we are. I just simply speak that over you. You're royalty. You have the royal blood flowing through your veins. Don't let Satan or any person else tell you differently. Just want you to put your hand on your heart. Lord Jesus, seal this to my heart. Only you can do that, Holy Spirit. Only you can awaken us to the revelation and understanding of what these prayers are. In Jesus' name. So, I am giving you homework to do. Your homework is read again. I gave it to you last week, but I'm going to encourage you to read John 17, to read Romans 12, and Romans 12, to read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and to read Ephesians 4:11, John 17, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians, and I said Romans 12 is one of the best pictures of the body of Christ and what it should be. It's powerful. We'll be teaching on it, sharing with you. And 1 Corinthians 12:13-14, and Ephesians 4:11. I want you to camp on that throughout this summer. And let's watch what the Holy Spirit will do to make us the authentic body of Christ. That means undiluted, genuine body of Christ. I believe this world is waiting to see that. How many can say amen? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, wow. Gives you a lot to chew on, don't it?